So the first question for you is, initially, I'd like you just to introduce yourself and just get, let us know a bit about you and what you do. And then if you could sort of go into what you was doing before you started online and why you transitioned to starting a business online and what the reason, some of the reasons for that.
Okay, yeah, my name's John Legodakis. I live in Brisbane, Australia, and I've been doing internet marketing full-time now for over 4.5 years. It's
Cool.
going on close to 5 years. The way I got into it beforehand, I was working in IT. I was a computer, or what was I, a systems administrator. I basically took care of computer systems, networking and even computer repairs and things like that. And I had, for a while there, I didn't have my own business doing it, so I was running around taking care of medium to small size businesses, home users, and so it was a lot of running around. It was a little bit of a stressful job because I take my work seriously, so I was always trying to make my customers happy, and every time they call you, it was because they had a problem, obviously. So they're always stressed out. And you're running around getting, while I was doing that, I read a book, came across a book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki. And that's a
That's a
very popular book.
great book, great book.
Yeah, sure is. Sure is. And it just got me thinking. It just took me right out of my box, that I was in. So I got thinking about, okay, what can I do to create other streams of income that doesn't rely on me being there physically to, I'm not getting paid for work that I do per hour, sort of thing. So one of the things he mentions in the book is network marketing. It's a good place to start. Actually, my brother approached me about a business around that time, and it looked like a really good product. And I still purchased the product today. Like, this was back in 2006, I think it was. So it's over six and a half years ago, whatever.
Can I ask what the product was?
It's Zuma Worldwide is the company, and they do health products.
Oh,
So
cool. Similar to like a Herbalife and Live It and like those like aloe vera type products and things like that.
It's well, what their main product's a proprietary product. It's a natural product. Basically, it's like a sachet you put in your water, and it releases minerals into your water, and it also purifies the water and helps you to hydrate a bit better. Like I said, I still use it today. I still drink it, put it in my water today. And
Excellent.
so what I did was, I thought, so I what I you know I really liked the product, and I and it was good income opportunity. So I go around the and naturally, you go and approach people that and it's just not a comfortable thing when you're in your multi-level marketing. Anyone that's done network marketing, MLM,
I've
and you
done it.
approach people that it's
You turn into
jumping.
that sort of that guy that's always promoting the get rich quick sort of things.
Yeah, that's right. People sort of, they don't feel comfortable about it. Most people don't feel comfortable about it. And plus, I didn't sort of like that part of it. But also, I talked about it to most people that I knew anyway. So I was running out of people to talk to. So I thought, well, I'll go online and find people that are already interested in network marketing. I thought that's a good place to start. So, I tried a few different things, and it worked actually. I was actually getting I was using traffic exchanges and just contacting people on Yahoo, chat and stuff like that. And while I was doing that, actually,
Sorry,
sorry.
I was just going to say, so you, when you're using traffic exchanges, contacting people on Yahoo and stuff like that, what was like your mental approach? Like, because the traffic exchanges, obviously, that's like looking at other people's websites to get credits for other people to look at your websites. Did you have like a squeeze page, or do you have a squeeze page up?
I just used the company's squeeze, but they had a squeeze page basically, yes, with a follow-up. People opt in, they see a video presentation, and there was also an email follow-up sequence. So they had it all set up for you. I didn't have to create it myself.
You getting results from that?
I did. This is back in, it's different today, I think. I think it's different today. But back in 2006 when I was doing it, or 2007, I think it was around 2007, you could buy a solo ad from, like a list builder or and stuff like that. And yeah, you would get opt-ins, and you would even get customers.
Oh,
You get
excellent.
people signing up. So yeah, it was definitely working.
Oh, good stuff.
And while I was doing all that, and that takes a while to build up a network marketing business. And while I was, I kept seeing, especially on the traffic exchanges, these things about affiliate marketing. I just kept seeing it and seeing it and seeing it. I didn't know what it was, affiliate marketing. And so I bought a book one day, an ebook, and it was actually I bought one from ClickBank, and I tried it out. Like it encouraged me to buy Google AdWords ads, and I wasn't making any money with it. And then I bought another one by a guy named Alok Jain from he's from India, and he still does internet marketing today. He's a successful internet marketer. Someone I have a lot of respect for, and it was a really good ebook. It was very cheap. It was like cost me $10, and I put it to practice what he recommended, and I started making money immediately.
Excellent.
Now, it wasn't big money. Don't get me wrong. I wasn't making big money. I think my like I did put up some Google ads, and I was to CPA offers, and I made like a dollar profit. Like after like the next day or something like that after I put up my ad. So I was like excited. I was like, oh yeah, profit. So I spent like a dollar on advertising, and I made $2. So I was about a dollar, and I thought, great, this works. So I thought, I'm gonna put a lot of effort into this and really build it up. And I did. I set a goal for myself to I think it was around May or something in 2007. And I said by October 2000, my birthday's in October, I said by October this year, I'm going to build up this business to the point where I can quit my day job that I was doing. And I did. It took me until January, so it took me longer than I hoped. But in January of the next year, I was at that point. Yeah, and I did. I emailed all my clients, and I said, I'm not doing the computer support anymore. And that was fantastic. Yeah, that was really good. So ever since then, since January 2008, I've been doing this full time. So, but back then I was doing PPC advertising, so I was paying for ads with Google AdWords mainly. Also, I started campaigns on Yahoo and also on Microsoft AdCenter, which is now Bing. And I was putting ads, the similar ads there, duplicate ads that I was putting in Google. And I started ClickBank was very easy to make sales on ClickBank and getting really good commissions. So I started to do a lot of ClickBank offers, and I actually in 2009 I was one of the top 100 ClickBank affiliates.
Oh, cool.
So
Excellent.
yeah, so I was doing very, very well. But things were changing, and Google was getting more and more strict, because it wasn't so much Google. There was a few bad apples, internet marketing. Internet marketers are for everyone. They're putting up dodgy ads and stuff like that. And basically, Google looked at the revenue that affiliate marketers were spending, and versus how much it was resources they were using up to take care of all these rogue internet marketers, and it wasn't worth their while. Like, I think the stats that I saw was like we were affiliate marketers made up about 1% of their revenue, maybe, but I think using up, I think were causing a lot of havoc. So they just said, that's it, we're gonna, and that, what they did was they wiped out thousands of
I
affiliates.
remember when that happened. That was crazy.
And yeah, that was back in around July 2009. Well, that's when it happened for me. I just all of a sudden, one day hopped on, and there was no sales in ClickBank. No sales. I'm like, wow, that's unusual. So check my Google ads, and they're like, they're all, and I, you know, then I noticed an email from Google saying, yep, your account's been suspended. And I called them several times and tried to reason with them, and
It wasn't happening, none of it.
None of that. They just like, nah, that's it. So, but I tell you what, I knew it was coming because I'd heard, you know, of people having this kind of issues with Google AdWords. And, you know, and I was sort of learning a lot more about internet marketing. There was a lot more to it than just PPC.
So can I ask you a question? While you were doing this PPC, was you sending the traffic directly to offers, or was they hitting a squeeze page first of all, and you was getting you was building the list, or it was just direct to offers? What was the
process?
Direct
to offers.
Oh, direct man.
What I was doing, I was doing the keywords that I was targeting were product related keywords.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't doing general PPC advertising for general keywords. I'll give you an example. So, let's say for a Forex product, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's say there was one called what was a popular Forex product?
Forex Box, something like that.
Let's say Forex Autopilot. You know, I would do specific keywords, Forex Autopilot, buy Forex Autopilot, Forex Autopilot review, stuff like that.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I wasn't doing, like, Forex software or Forex training. No. I was paying a lot of money for those clicks, and there weren't a lot of them, you know, as the general keywords, but they were highly targeted.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
I wasn't driving traffic to squeeze page and then to the offer. I knew that I needed to be building a list, you know, something I kept hearing over and over again,
mm-hmm.
And I thought it's just a fantastic concept that you can build a list and you can continue to market to them again and again.
Yeah, I
love
that as well.
You know, so obviously, you know, you take care of the list, you know, just, you know, respect and all that, but yeah, no, basically it comes to, you know, you build a list and you continue to market it. Because, you know, I knew firsthand, like, especially while I was still making money with Google PPC, I realized that if Google turned off, like, banned my account, that's it. I'm not making any more money from, that's it. All that hard work. Because I spent a lot of time on those campaigns, not just setting them up initially. We're talking about continually monitoring them. Mm-hmm. So some campaigns, they, you know, were not profitable, and you'd have to ban them straight away. You know, you have to adjust them or pause them. Some campaigns were profitable straight away, but then they became later unprofitable for different reasons. Maybe the product closed down, there was increased competition for those keywords, and the bids went up, and then it became unprofitable, and all sorts of things. So, I had hundreds of products that I was promoting. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was spending quite a bit of time monitoring campaigns. It was a bit frustrating when, you know, you set up a good campaign, then later on it was an unprofitable campaign, and all, you know. And so I really thought, you know, this email marketing is definitely a better way to go, because, you know, let's say your autoresponder service you're with, let's say they shut you down for whatever reason, doesn't matter. You can take your list and go somewhere else.
That's true.
Get a different service. Mm-hmm. So you're not, you know, it's just, you know, and you can automate a lot of things. You can schedule, you know, I didn't have to be, like I said, every day I spend a lot of time checking my campaigns and monitoring those, but with email marketing it's very different. You can automate a lot of stuff, have your sequence set up. And so I actually started setting up my email marketing business before my PPC business shut down.
Okay.
But when it did happen, though, when Google did shut me down, I was in the very early stages of building my list, and I wasn't making a lot of money at all from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to. But then, you know, so what I did was once my Google AdWords account got banned, I just basically focused.
How did you feel about that? Like, would you just move on, or did you just feel ruined?
Oh, I felt pretty. It's pretty depressing. It's very, very depressing because.
Can I ask how much you were spending?
I think it was around. At the height of it, I was spending around $500 a day on ads.
Okay, yeah.
But then, that started to go down a bit, the spending and also the profits towards the end. I'm not sure exactly why, but anyway. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was close. Yeah, it was close to that anyway.
Okay.
So So yeah, so I focused on this email marketing, and that's what I've been doing ever since.
Okay.
So the past
When you first got started with the email marketing side of things, like, what was the first things that you did, being that your main traffic source had gone? What was the first thing you did to get more people onto your list consistently?
Yeah. Well, you know what, Mark? Because of the experience I had with paid traffic, it can get turned off, and also because it can be stressful when you're paying for something, because if it's not, you have to continue to monitor it. Like I said, it's probably profitable. I didn't want to go through that ever again. Mm-hmm. I said, I made a resolution. I'm never, ever, ever going to pay for traffic again.
Oh, okay.
I might change that down the track, but for the last 3 years now, I haven't paid for traffic.
Okay.
Never once paid for traffic. So what did I do? I basically use traffic exchanges.
Okay.
Now, they're boring. They're not very effective, but you will get opt-ins. Okay, so I used to basically click for credits while I was doing other things. So I have two windows, maybe have two browsers open or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, click for some credits. And
yeah.
I used safe lists, free safe lists.
Okay.
Or list builders, they're called. And again, they're not very effective, but they're easy to use.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take much time. You just send. If you need to get credits for those, they can take a bit of time. But what I really focused my time on was setting up a blog.
Okay.
And just start writing articles, and that's really good. That's okay. Really good. Because the traffic you get from a blog is very responsive, and it's perpetual traffic. What I mean by that is you set up a blog and you continue to add content to it, and you get traffic for months and months, years and years to come. I still, the blog now is still bringing in traffic, and I don't even add a lot of content to it these days, but it's still bringing in consistent traffic and opt-ins.
Oh, great. That's good.
Giveaway events I also did. There's JV giveaway events.
Okay. What does that entail?
So that's where you can sign up. So, certain internet marketers, they'll set up a giveaway event where contributors, people that have lists basically,
mm-hmm.
like myself, can join. I add my free gift to the giveaway event,
mm-hmm.
and along with all the other contributors, and then it goes live. And on a specific date, it goes live, and I'm supposed to promote it to my list, and the mm-hmm. other people that contribute gifts, they promote it as well. So we all send a lot of people, a lot of our list.
So you get a lot of exposure to all your products.
Exactly. So if we're all sending, our list to the giveaway event, we all get exactly a lot of exposure and get signed up. So, and I still do giveaway events today. Mm-hmm. And then once, basically using those methods I just mentioned, when I got to a point where I had about 300 subscribers, mm-hmm. I then started doing email ad swaps.
Okay.
And that's where, I think about this, Mark. So where we go, and so I find someone that's got a similar list size to me, and I say to them, hey, I'll promote your free offer to my list if you promote your free offer, my free offer to your list.
So was you and doing that before Safe Swaps came about?
Yeah, I
was. So where was you finding these people to do swaps with?
Yeah, so I go to Warrior Forum.
Okay, cool, yeah.
Go to the JV section.
Okay.
And, you'd always ask for referrals because unfortunately, there's scammers out there.
Yeah.
Pretty sad, but, always ask for referral. I did get burned a few times, quite a few times. But I got used to it. But I also was part of a mentoring group, and I met some people there that had that. And basically, once I found a good person, I would ask them who they swapped with.
Oh, okay.
And they refer me to other good people.
So excellent.
Yeah. And so we used to Skype each other, have a bit of a Skype group going as well. And but now it's Safe Swaps. Yeah, that's the premise. So that's where all the email marketers go if they want to do ad swaps. They get Safe Swaps.
Yeah.
I've been there. Yeah, I was one of the first members. I've been there for a couple of years now.
It's a brilliant idea, isn't it? Safe swaps.
Yeah, it's fantastic service. It's really good.
Definitely
and
that.
they've continued to develop it. So Uncle Dimitri, he's when it first started out, it was very basic in what you could do. I mean, even when it first started out, it was fantastic. It saved me a lot of time.
Of course.
But over the last couple of years, he just keeps adding to it and adding to it. You know, again, making it better and better and better. So yeah, it's really good. So that's how I got to my first 1,000 subscribers, and I still do the giveaway events today. I still do ad swaps today. I still focus on my blog today. Still add content to my blog. I don't use the traffic exchanges and SafeLeaks myself. I still encourage people that I sort of mentor with their email marketing. When they first start out, I encourage them to use those if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get to the point where you can start doing ad swaps, you don't want to spend your time with traffic exchanges and SafeLeaks because it's very time consuming. Another thing that I use today, and I highly encourage everyone to use, is YouTube.
Okay.
It's fantastic. Oh, fantastic.
I definitely agree with you there, because I've got a friend who's he's put a few YouTube videos up, and he's in the betting niche.
Okay.
And literally, it's not a lot of traffic that he's getting from YouTube, but it converts so well, like in comparison to how IM traffic converts, it converts really well. Like you'll get like maybe 20, 30 visits a day and get 5 or 6 sales. And he's just starting out, so yeah, and that's really, really good sort of thing. And he's spent a lot of time creating a funnel and so on and so forth, and now he's looking at different areas to grow the traffic and stuff like that. But yeah, a lot of people have been talking about YouTube, and I haven't really, as of yet, got too much into it. So that's definitely something. What do you do on YouTube?
Oh, I basically create very short how-to videos.
Okay.
How-to videos on any topic related to internet marketing, because that's my niche that I focus on, internet marketing. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example. I'll do a short video on how to set up an AWeber campaign.
Okay.
How to install WordPress through cPanel. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just really short YouTube educational. So what I'm doing, I'm adding value. People get to see and hear me, because I actually put myself in the bottom right hand corner. I use Cam Studio, and you can Camtasia Studio. Yeah. Sorry. You can add yourself. So people get to see me, see that I'm a real person.
Okay.
I'm teaching them how to do something, and at the beginning of the video and at the end of the video, I say, hey, this is John Legodakis of MakeMoneyOnlineWithJohn.com. Uh-huh. At the end, I'll say, hey, this is, for more great free content on how to make money online, make sure you head over to my website, MakeMoneyOnlineWithJohn.com. So that's how I'll put a watermark as well and on the video, the bottom of the video of my website URL. And in the description, the YouTube description, I've got my URL right at the beginning, and it's a clickable link.
Mm-hmm.
So by doing all that, you get visitors. So I get thousands of views per month.
Okay.
I can't remember the last time I checked. At the moment I'm getting maybe 30,000 views per month, something like that, on my YouTube videos.
Wow.
And the people that watch and then go to the site, like you said, they're highly responsive because you've already built a relationship of trust with them. They've gone to that effort of clicking on the link or typing in the URL to come to your site. So, yeah, they're very, very responsive leads. A lot of people that sign up to my list marketing system program, that's how they come in, through my YouTube videos.
Excellent.
So it's something I plan to create more and more of. Now, another traffic method that I'm going to get into right now, which I haven't really had a chance to do personally, but I have actually helped some friends do this, and they've been a friend recently, and he's been successful, is Kindle platform. Amazon Kindle eBooks.
I've been hearing a lot about that lately,
there's a lot about it lately. There is a lot, and it's fantastic. I mean,
it is as good as it's you think it's something that's, well, based on it being from Amazon, I can see that it's here to stay.
Yeah, exactly. It's a growing trend. Less and less people are buying physical books, and more people are buying e-books.
Mm-hmm.
Like I do myself. and a lot of people are. Also, anyone can join, apply for as a publisher with Kindle.
Okay.
It's very easy to add your content to, and you don't even have to create it yourself. Your ebook you can easily outsource it, as long as it's original content.
Yep.
It's good content. You upload it. You can go to Fiverr.com and get a e-cover created for $5. So it's very easy to create. Even like if you can create a simple report that you give away or sell for $1, or you can create more in-depth content and you sell it for $4.99 or $7.99 whatever. But the reason though how you use it with your how I'm going to plan to use it not so much as to generate income yes but also as a lead generation tool. Obviously, I'll put my links to my website, my squeeze page. In the reports and in the content that I put up there. So, I'm building my, continue to build my list. And these are going to be highly, high quality leads.
Yeah, of
course.
Because
they're coming from Amazon. These are buyers. These
of
are
course,
not,
yeah.
You know, yeah. So, yeah, they're definitely something I'm going to get into.
I'd love to talk with you more about that at another stage. Because I'd be interested in getting involved in that as well. That sounds like a really good idea. Definitely sounds like a good idea. And like, similar to like this, because you're basically putting your offers in places where people normally got their card out, or the only reason they're going to that place is because they are actually looking to buy something. So you're definitely putting yourself in front of a much more targeted lead rather than say a freebie seeker.
That's right, And also, these people are less likely to be on a lot of email lists because when you do AdSwatch, for example, like you said, you're going to get a lot of freebie seekers, and that's okay. But they're not as high converting.
Yeah.
Also, they're typically on a lot of other people's lists.
Yeah.
And because they're getting email from so many different sources, that's why they're not as
it's hard to stand out. Yeah, definitely. Good stuff. So. With all of this going on, as you say, you got a lot of people that are on lots of different lists. I'm on a lot of different lists myself. And when I think about it, there's certain people that when an email comes in from them, I open the email and I read like passionately. I want to know what they've got to say, and I know they're going to drop some really good information on me. What is it that you do to make yourself stand out and allow you to maintain a really good relationship with your list, where they see you as somebody who's important? So when they see your email in their box, they open it over other people's.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So something that I can use to my advantage, for example, is to let people know that I was a top 100 ClickBank affiliate.
Of course. Yeah.
So that builds. That builds. Shows. That I've achieved something. Another thing I do to stand out, little things that I do, like when I send out an email, I won't just put my name as from thing. It'll have like a little asterisk on either side, so it stands out a little bit. I like to keep the same format in my emails, and to send out at the same time every day. Like when I send out a daily email, I send it at the same time. Just shows that reliability as well. Helps build that trust. When on my squeeze page I have a picture of myself and my name also, so they know, hey, this is a person. When they opt in, they also straight away the one-time offer that they see, there's a video of me telling them about the offer, like an actual video, me standing in front of the camera.
Yeah,
good
video.
Okay. Yeah, so that's, I want people, to know, hey, you're dealing with a real person here. Even the final, after they go to the one-time offer page, there's a page that says, hey, check your inbox for your, to get your the email for your free download. Mm-hmm. And that's actually a video of me again, just a short one saying, basically telling them that. Instead of having the message, it's me talking to them. So I try to, just try to get them used to me. Not because I like being in front of the camera. Not because I, think I'm good looking or I got a great personality. Not at all. But just to let them, just build that relationship with them. So,
okay.
And you know, while they're on my list, I with my ad swap list, like I said, with that consistency, the same format, the same time, I rewrite the offers that I send out in my own words. I don't copy and paste what my ad swap partner's given me.
Okay, okay.
Because, you know, they'll most probably see that from other people that are ad swap, you know, if they've seen that same offer before, you know. Mm-hmm.
So you spend every single ad swap, you rewrite the ad?
Yeah, I do every single one.
That's good.
I promote the specific offer. I don't do a generic email like, hey, check out this freebie or something. Like, you know what I mean? That I can just easily recycle. No, I promote the specific offer. I say, hey, this is the offer. This is what I'll do for you. What else do I do? So, and the ad swap list, every now and again, I'll send them an email with just a free gift that they don't have to opt in for.
Okay.
And I basically, it's a special page that there's a video of me saying, hey, thanks for being a subscriber, loyal subscriber. Here's a free gift. No opt-in required.
Cool.
Maybe not as often as I'd like to, I'll create a video training of me in front of a whiteboard usually,
mm-hmm.
Explaining some internet marketing strategy.
Okay.
And I'll send that out to my list. And that's really good to do. The more often you can do that, the better. That's definitely better. Because that's what you're talking about. I think what you're talking about when you say the people that you like to get read the emails are the ones that you know when you open it up, it's going to be something really good.
Yeah, and I think that's what I think. And I'm starting to see that. It's doing things like that. Like I said, it's a recurring theme that people are talking about, doing videos, making sure that you add value. Like you don't just, it's not just offers. Sometimes you give away just some free content without putting the email address in or nothing. Some others I've heard is like weekly webinar trainings. If you've got the time, doing one-on-one Skype calls with like a certain amount of people within your list. And, even things like what we're doing now, like interviews and having and then giving people the opportunity to see to view the interview, and tele summits and stuff like that. This is the recurring themes that I'm getting. It basically doing more than just sending out emails. It's more so you have to try hit people from different media angles. That's what I seem to
Yeah, it's sort of, you know, I like to look at it, okay, what would I want to receive?
Okay.
You know, like, what do I like to get, you know, and sort of, it's like the golden rule, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do unto others that you haven't done unto you. If you follow that, you know, you do well. And I've done ad swaps with a lot of people before. Mm-hmm. And a comment that I get a lot is, you know, how do I keep my list so responsive? And it's just these things that we're talking about. It's just those little things that do make a difference. So, that's some of the things that I do. I like to do live webinars as well. Like you said, it's like this interview, like you mentioned. So, where I set up a webinar with someone that's got some really good content, that's got some really good training that they're going to teach them, and that's also really good. I like to promote, you know, when there's a big product launch happening. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they give out the free pre-launch content.
Yeah,
that's really good. I like to send that out to my list.
Okay.
Because obviously as long as it's a good product, because if it's really good content, they're going to get a lot out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, obviously, I use my affiliate link. So if they decide to buy the product, you're also in commission. So,
cool.
There's something I do. Yeah.
Excellent. So it's a number of little things that, like, from, and it's just really just using common sense and thinking about how you'd want to be treated by somebody, and implementing those things to treat the people, which they are real people who are on your list.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, treat people the way you want to treat it, and also, you know, how can I deliver good content to them and do it myself. You know what I mean? Like, say you get you're giving them the content that they need and you're building that relationship with them. So if you can, whether you can create the video yourself. In, like I said, like you can do a screen capture video, you can do yourself in front of a camera, you do an audio interview like this. You know, getting yourself in front of a camera or doing interviews, when you first do it, it's like most people don't want to do it. You know, they're sort of scared. You know, public speaking is a big fear a lot of people have. But everyone does. But, you know, the as you do more and more, as you just do it,
becomes fun.
And as you, it does become fun, becomes easy. I remember the first video I created for a squeeze page that I was doing when I was first setting up my email marketing business.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible. I'm serious.
I can imagine.
I was so uncomfortable doing it, and it came out in the video, and it was like, oh. I think about it now and I cringe. Seriously. I mean, I'm not saying I'm that much better now in front of a camera, but you know, a lot better than what I used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's what you say is so true. Like, it's worth at least starting and doing it, and then perfecting, getting yourself better as you go along. And without a doubt, I feel that will definitely add value to people. So. That's definitely an important factor.
Yeah, and you know another thing I come across, Mark, is that people say, "Well, look, I'm not an expert. How can I be making this content like YouTube videos or doing a presentation or I don't know much about internet marketing or whatever your niche."
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. Who is a born expert? Nobody.
Nice. Yeah.
Nobody.
Definitely. Yeah.
Nobody. I was actually listening to, it's interesting, I was listening to an interview recently with Brian Tracy, and a lot of people might have heard of him. He's a
sales expert.
Sales expert, that's right. He's created heaps of content like books and audio programs and whatever.
I bought some of his stuff from Nightingale Cognant.
Yes, I bought some of his stuff from there. Fantastic. You know, he's a world-class leader in sales. And it was interesting, I remember, this audio I was listening to recently, he said, he got approached by Nightingale Cognant, actually interesting you mentioned them, to create a audio course or a book, kind of a program anyway, about time management.
Okay.
And it was interesting what he said. He said was, look, he jotted down all like in point form sort of everything he knew about time management. And he was pretty good with time management.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they approached him. And he said it wasn't enough for a program, for a book.
Okay.
So he went out and bought everything he could, every, top-selling program or whatever about time management. Mm. And he did tons of research, and from that he went and created his course.
Yeah, and
now,
it's pretty obvious. That sounds really pretty obvious to how to get yourself to be up to speed with something is go and learn it, and then as you learn it, reteach it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, I've got a lot of respect for Tony Robbins. Okay, a lot of respect. He's fantastic. So I've visited so many of his programs. I love them. But how did he start out? Did he do a special course, or was he an expert, in nutrition and in sales and everything he does?
He modeled all the top people.
Yeah, he went and learned. I remember him talking about how he first got out. I think he first started out with health products and helping people. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember his friend's mother had cancer, he was saying, and he just did heaps of research and helped her.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got a reputation for being able to help people. Do you know what I mean? And it sort of, went from there. And so, so anyone can be an expert on any topic.
Mm-hmm.
You just, like you said, you just learn it and you reteach it. And by doing that, it becomes part of you.
You. Yeah, I agree fully. And also, you say you can do things like I know somebody where what they did is they just was very honest about things as well. They just said, look, I'm new, I'm this much in debt, and my goal is to get myself out of debt within a year. I'm going to try to do this by learning things about learning how to do this online, and I'm going to document my journey here. And literally, so I went and bought a course by this person. He said that I need to go and build a list. So I've looked at these areas that I need to go and build a list in. I've gone to do safe swaps. I've gone to buy solos. I've gone to try this. I've got this amount of leads on. Oh, I've got some sales in. Oh, you need to put a funnel. Do you know what I mean? And you can slowly
build. Oh, and
people love
living
vicariously for other people. People love
that.
Yeah,
like, oh, it's fantastic. Yeah.
That's why reality programs are so big at the moment and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, definitely. And that you're exactly right. You don't have to pretend to be something you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Tell people. And people will follow you, will be interested in following you. Like I'm the same too. Someone's got a challenge and they're open about it and say, this is what I want to achieve and I'm going to let you know what I'm doing. Oh, I'm interested to know. Definitely. Yeah.
You want to see how it gets on, like, how they get on. Like, and even if, and personally, even if they're new, because what's good is that when somebody's new, they try things that you potentially wouldn't try because you're doing whatever you do that you know works. And then when you see someone get results from something which you haven't tried, you're like, oh, I should actually do that myself. Mm-hmm. So yeah. it's so much you can learn from people, not just people that are above yourself as well. And that's why within these interviews as well, I'm interviewing people with lists of just a few thousand and plus lists and big lists as well, right? Because I feel that I can, with the right people, you can learn different things from different people about what they're doing right now to grow their business. Mm. And I always remember that when I was coming up and learning different things when I was building my business online, I always remember that certain big gurus and so on and so forth that I would listen to, because of the stage that they've got to in their business, the things that they were talking about were so over my head, I was never able to work out how to implement what they were talking about because it just felt over my head. So that's one of the main reasons why I wanted to put this together, so that people can get sort of some basic tips and things to help themselves get started. And if they're already started, then they can get some little tweaks that they can do to improve what they're currently doing already, which I think will be very helpful to people. And that leads nicely into my next question, which is about mistakes and errors that you've made while building your list. Let's not just say just the list, just in your business in general and in your list.
Definitely made mistakes. Like I mentioned before, like I've done ad swaps with people that just didn't reciprocate. You know, so, and that can be quite depressing, especially when it happens a few times. I remember actually at a point where I was at around 2,000 subscribers, just over 2,000, and I just had a bad week. Maybe I had two bad swaps or something, and I just felt like giving up.
Okay.
I thought, what am I doing? And, you know, but I kept going. And it still happens every, you know, it's up and down. Look, everyone that's successful, let me tell you, he's going to make mistakes. It's part of the journey. It's part of it. And you will get discouraged. So that's normal. So, I made plenty of mistakes. What's some other ones? I've sent out bad offers.
Okay.
You know, offers that I was in a rush to send out an email and I picked an offer and I didn't really research it well and ended up being a bad one. So I try not to do that anymore.
Yeah.
That's been a while since I've done that. But, you know, I have done that. Sent out emails with that are incorrect links a few times.
Oh,
not very many. I'm very pretty pedantic. Every time I set up a broadcast, I always test it myself
definitely.
Before I broadcast it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes I've sent out emails with bad links, like links that don't work.
You ever done the thing where you sent out the subject line and it says, like, or it says hi, and it actually says that it has the bracket because you've done the coding wrong.
Okay. I don't use I know what you're talking about, the first name variable. Mm. Yeah, I don't use the first name variables in my emails. Maybe that's one of the reasons. But also for a higher conversion rate, I just ask them for their email address.
Okay.
When they sign up, so I don't have a lot of people's first names anyway.
Oh, cool.
Fortunately, I haven't done that one. I've seen that heaps of times, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's sort of the worst mistakes I've sort of made. They're nothing major.
Yeah.
They're,
have you seen anything that anybody else has done, any other marketers have done, and you thought, wow, that was really bad that they shouldn't have done that, or anything like that?
Yeah, I think a lot of that first name ones is bad.
Yeah, it doesn't look good, does it?
No, it looks really bad, I think.
Yeah.
I've even seen my wife for same do that. You know, so it doesn't even...
yeah, I know, and I've seen that as well. I've seen people on Facebook, like, who are quite big, who have moaned about people that do that, like, oh, how can you make that mistake? We need to just check it. Then, like, a couple of weeks later, I've seen them actually do it themselves. That's quite funny. That's quite funny to see. But
you really don't want to do that. What's some other mistakes I've seen people make? I think sending out too many emails. Because a lot of the times when I do an ad swap with someone, I'll opt into their offer. Like, I always check out if it's a new ad swap partner. I won't just check their squeeze page to see if it's a good offer. I'll actually opt in. Okay. I want to know what happens after I opt in, because I don't want to send my list somewhere where they opt in for a specific gift and they don't get it, for example.
Yeah.
Or something dodgy anyway, something, you know. So because I check a lot of people's offers, I end up getting a lot of email marketers lists. Mm-hmm. And I see some email marketers, they're emailing their list, you know, like every 4 hours or something like that, ridiculous like that. And it's sort of like, oh, yeah, that's going to burn them out real fast. But maybe that's part of their strategy. I don't know. Okay. Maybe they're buying a lot of new leads or whatever. I'm not even sure exactly. But, that's a big no-no, I reckon. But actually, I do have two types of lists myself. I have basically my AdSwap list, where I do it, like I said, I do a daily ad. So I do 6 days a week, Monday to Saturday, I'll do AdSwap.
Okay.
And with a different ad swap partner each day, and I rotate my partners every 2 months. So I won't do an ad swap with the same partner closer than 2 months. Uh-huh. And that way we keep things fresh, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to be sending him the same opt-ins. He's not going to be sending me his same opt-ins.
Yeah.
So that's my ad swap list.
I think what you're going to say is going to lead nicely into the question that I was going to ask, which is about segmenting your list into different groups based on their actions, and why do you do that?
Yeah, well, what happened was, like, I when I first started off, I just had my ads. I just had a list. When I got to 300, I started doing ad swaps, and if people joined my list through an ad swap or through my blog, mm-hmm. they would still go on the same list. Mm-hmm. And but then what I realized later on was that the leads from the blog were much more valuable.
Okay.
The leads by doing ad swaps, I was burning out my list fast. You know, but it's good to do ad swaps because you're getting fresh leads into your list. But they do burn out quicker when you're sending them each day. So what I did was, I can't remember how many opt-ins I had at the time, but I decided to have two separate lists. Mm-hmm. I have my ad swap list, and then I have another list where they're people that come in through my own efforts, my own SEO efforts, such as YouTube videos and through my blog. And also when I set up Kindle, they'll go into that list as well. So that list doesn't get I don't promote the ad swap offers to my SEO list,
okay.
my blog, YouTube. That one I just promote to them, like I might send them some content, you know, that I've created myself to teach them something, or I'll send them really good pre-launch content when there's a good pre-launch happening.
Oh, excellent.
Basically stuff like that. I might email them about 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the other list, the ad swap list, yeah, like every day, every 6 days a week, they're getting, you know, an email. But I make sure they're good emails, like they're good offers. I don't just send them any offer. I make sure they're free offers, good offers. I'll also send them pre-launch content, good pre-launch content as well, free content, and also send them any training that I do as well, any free ebooks that I'm giving them with no opt-in required. I still send that to the ad swap list.
Mm-hmm.
But the ad swap, obviously, they're going to burn out quicker, those leads, because they get an email from me every day. But the other list, the SEO list, I sort of don't email them as often, and they remain, much more responsive.
Okay, cool.
But I don't like to, besides that, and sorry, just one more thing, but while we're talking about segmenting lists,
mm-hmm.
I don't like to do it too much because the purpose of having, for me anyway, for getting into email marketing was to be as much hands-off as possible.
Oh, okay.
Because I really value my time. I really, really value my time. And if you segment your list too much, and you've got to take care of what broadcasts you're going to send to this list and that list and whatever, or keep up with the follow-up email sequence and stuff like that, it becomes too time-consuming.
Yes. Okay. I like that opinion, because it's obviously it's important that you can balance your lifestyle with your daily business.
I mean, look, that's why do we go into internet marketing? Most people go into internet marketing because they want that lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want the flexibility of being able to work whenever they want to work, but also they don't want to be working, you know, slogging out, you know, 8 hours a day or maybe more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They want to be able to make the same income they're making or more, and work more flexible hours and hopefully less hours.
Very true, very true. Okay. So in regards to segmentation and stuff like that, it's just very basic segmentation in regards to people that come from certain traffic sources. You have buyers and non-buyers in separate lists?
I do have a list for my buyers of my one-time offer, but I don't treat they basically I don't treat them any different, because you know, for the reason I mentioned before, the only reason why I started segmenting my buyers was because I wanted to get them onto a separate AWeber list so they can automatically get an email once they purchase from me with the download link. Because because I do my one-time offers through PayPal.
Okay.
And my PayPal buy button is set up to automatically redirect the buyer to the download page for the product. Mm-hmm. And I found a lot of them weren't getting redirected. Maybe they didn't hang around for the 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Maybe they expected to get an email with the download link or something like that. I don't know. But I was getting a lot of them coming to me saying, hey, I didn't get the download link. Hey, and so I had to keep replying.
Mm-hmm.
And I just get, so I want to automate things as much as possible, pretty much. You know? I want to keep his hands off. So I realized that you could, through AWeber, I use AWeber for the autoresponder, I realized that you could set up an email parser and you could basically automatically create a list for buyers of your PayPal products.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I have a buyer's list. I don't do any different to the rest of my list, you know. Yep.
Okay, that's good. So as you've been through your journey and you've been learning and you've obviously got to the status that you're at now, who would you say, what books are you currently reading? What training are you currently part of, or what mentors do you currently have, or do you feel that you no longer need any of that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm big into self development, you know, and personal training, and physically and mentally and spiritually, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need to feed yourself. You definitely do. For internet marketing, I just watch a lot of the pre-launch content for these big launches,
because
mm-hmm. that keeps me up to date of all the stuff that's really happening. I don't necessarily have a, you know, private mastermind group, which it might be, you know, maybe a good idea to do that, get together with, some of the big marketers, and there was one I was a part of a while ago, but it sort of fell apart. But I just watch the keep up to date with all the big launches and mm-hmm. to see what's happening. I also personally, I do running, keep myself physically fit,
mm-hmm.
try to eat healthy, and I think that really helps.
Oh, excellent.
You really need to take care of yourself physically.
Mm-hmm.
You really do. It really helps you in other areas of your life. I recently joined audible.com, which is Amazon's audio ebooks, and it's fantastic because when I go running or take my dog for a walk or whatever, do stuff around the house,
mm-hmm.
I'll pop on my headphones and I'll listen to a book.
So you can do that in your no extra time. Excellent.
Yeah, exactly, because I don't have time to sit down and read a book because I'm so busy doing all these other stuff. Like I'm involved with you know, my church. I volunteer a lot of my time there. So you know, I've got family, I've got young kids. So I don't have a lot. I don't have really time to sit around and read books. But you need to keep your mind fed with other things as well. So I download ebooks from audiobooks from audible.com, and I listen to those. I just go through, see what the best sellers are in different categories like self development or business or personal development, whatever. And I just listen to them, and I've been listening to quite a lot lately, and it's fantastic.
Definitely. Sounds. And I've been looking at Audible myself lately because my dad keeps telling me you'll love it. Like, you'll be able to use it when you're like, when you're driving in your car, like as you're going for runs, the same sort of thing. And I just haven't actually done anything with it yet. But like more and more I hear about it, I think I'm the type of person I need to hear about something a few times before I take action on it. So yeah, I think I'm gonna move in that direction because reading's so old. No, I'm only joking. I shouldn't say that, but like it is a bit of a chore to read like a 60-page ebook or something like that, even if it's amazing content.
It is because it's so, you know, my time, your time, everyone's time is your most valuable asset.
Yeah,
the most valuable, because everything else you can get back.
Yeah.
You know, you can get your health back.
Yeah.
You know, within reason. You know what I mean. Uh-huh. You can get money back and stuff like that. But your time, you can't. And so that's what I love about audiobooks. Is you can do stuff, listen to at the same time. So, yeah, really good.
Cool. Well, this has been really good. Like I feel like you've given a load of little gems for people to pick up on and so on and so forth. And what I'll do is I'll get like my VA to sort of listen to the audio and just take out the key points that he thinks are important, or some cliff notes on the page and stuff like that. So, but is there like for my listeners, the people on the list that are actually listening to this interview, is there like a way for them to get in touch with, not necessarily get in touch with you, follow you and or is there anything that you're currently doing that you want them to know about? Like, feel free to just, let them know now.
Okay, yeah, thanks, Mark. If anyone can go to makemoneyonlinewithjohn.com, and there is where I typically have my latest training, like what I'm doing right now. So, for example, if right now, as we're recording this audio, I've got a webinar there that anyone can join to see exactly how I build up my email marketing business. So I go into great detail. Showing a lot of the resources and stuff that I use, how I set up my squeeze page and stuff like that. So highly encourage everyone to go there and check that out. You can also, there's my blog, johnlagoudakis.com, johnlagoudakis.com. So that's the two places you
can I'll put go. I'll put the links in on the page as well, so you guys can just click that to get over to that site as well. And I'd just like to thank you on behalf of all my listeners and myself for like spending this time with us and just being so giving. Like it's really great. And it's, and when I started doing these interviews, like I just thought to myself, are people not going to do interviews with me? Like, who am I? They're not going to do it, sort of thing. But it's surprising how people, they are open to do it, and they are, and it's great. I've made some great connections and great friendships from obviously having that experience and doing an interview with somebody and things like that. So I love it. And I'd just like to say thank you so much for coming on. And just great stuff. Thanks so much, man.
Yeah, thanks, right. Mark. I appreciate the opportunity. It's been a real pleasure.
Okay, great. And so, guys, the key thing what I always say in every interview is that this information is great information, and it doesn't matter how smart you are, how much you consume the information, without taking action on it, you're not going to get no results. So take from it what you need to build your business and actually take action on it and get results. All right. So that's it from me. Until our next interview, take care. Take care, John. Speak to you soon.
Thanks, Mark. See you.
So the first question